Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel. Turn your mining hat light on and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at Don't Waste the Miracle. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we are grateful for all that you bestow upon us day by day. Teach us to value it. Teach us to use it, not just to our advantage, but to the advantage of others. God, that gratitude carries with it responsibility, and responsibility carries with it blessing, not just for us, but for all of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for this time together in your scriptures. Open them to us and open us to your scriptures in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know that's a little bit of a different title, but we're going to look at Don't Waste the Miracle. And I'm concerned, and some of you know this because I harp on it maybe, but every time we read a passage that's very familiar to us, and we all yell and hoop and amen and close the book, and we don't always see what follows. And this isn't going to be an up and happy one today, but that's okay because there's cautionary tales all through the scriptures, aren't there? And so hopefully our end will be better. Anyway, we're going to look at a man who received a miracle from God, one that we all celebrate and that we refer to often. But I want us to look at something just a little bit beyond where we usually read. So open your Bibles, if you will, if you have them. If you're driving, don't open your Bible, to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. This tells of the great King Hezekiah. We all know that he is one of just, he was a fantastic king in the lineage that God oversaw. And so we're going to look at him. Most of you, when you think about Hezekiah, think about a specific miracle. So we're going to start with that. Chapter 20. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. That's a page-turner. That's a way to open it, isn't it? And the prophet Isaiah, now this is not just any little run-of-the-mill prophet. We're talking top-shelf prophet here. The son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. Now, it's one thing if you have a prophet come and talk to you. It's something else if you have a prophet, the stature of Isaiah come. But not just as Isaiah come, his first words out of his mouth are, thus saith the Lord. So this is not just Isaiah. This is, thus saith the Lord. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Everybody who's always seeking a personal word of prophecy, I always laugh because we sort of have feel-good prophets for the most part in the churches. Everybody wants to tell us we're going to get a new job and a new car and God's going to bless us and ministry doors are going to open or whatever. Very seldom do you have a prophet look you in the eye and say, set your house in order, for you shall not live and shall die. Turns on his heel and walks out. Oh my goodness. But there is an operative phrase in there, set thine house in order. And I if anything in hospice, this is what I've learned, that we should live with our house in order. You could set your house in order and God may not reverse that sentence. But there's no sense in him reversing that sentence if he doesn't, if we don't set our house in order. The issue is not the living or dying. The issue is living with your house in order. Anyway, so Hezekiah, as we know, turns his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember me now. I have walked before thee these in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Which is true. He was a marvelous king, and he really loved and served the Lord. So it came to pass before Isaiah got to the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him saying, you know, turn again, and he gives him another 15 years. We all know this. Tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. So this is a pretty fabulous turn of events from thou shalt die, you shall not live, you shall die, to not only this, but I'm going to raise you up. You will go into the house of the Lord on the third day. I will defend you. I will defend this city from the hands of the Assyrians. And he's it's a pretty marvelous blessing. So he goes back to Hezekiah. And one of the things I always point out from this passage is not so much relevant for what we're looking at today, but I think it's a powerful piece of knowledge for us. It's one of those hidden treasures. This is the proof of those things. And I will often ask people, what is the most important or the most powerful voice in all of the universe? And people, well, the Lord, or they may say Jesus or whatever. There are various, but pretty much along that line. But the reality is, the most powerful voice in my universe is my own. If you think about what Hezekiah heard, he heard it from one of the foremost prophets, not just of the day, but of all time. And he heard him say, thus saith the Lord. And Isaiah wasn't lying. That was the voice of the Lord. And yet he turned his face to the wall. He prayed. He wept sore. And the voice, his own voice, had enough power to stop Isaiah on his heel, turn him around, and send him back. It had enough authority, it had enough influence, it had enough power in it that actually God himself reversed what he said. Now, he didn't say, you know, the absolute, like, thing said twice will surely come to pass, won't be changed. There are some things that God will never change, but there are some things that God's voice can be turned on. And that is how powerful the voice of Hezekiah was in Hezekiah's life. Anyway, but watch, he forgets that as we go along. So this was a great day. The third day he'd be raised up. And we know that, and I don't know, it's very possible that what he had was a kind of plague, because of course he had a boil, and Isaiah takes a lump of figs and he laid it. He made a poultice of it and he laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And that's kind of indicative of what the people saw with the Black Death. They got a boil. Many died from that. That may not have been it, but whatever it was, if you've ever had a boil, it's just a boil. But this was the sign of this disease. So anyway, and yet Hezekiah doesn't leave it at this. When God says all this to him, Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What shall be the sign of the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?" Again, we kind of get into trouble when, first off, we're seeking words. Well, so when we seek signs, signs are open to interpretation. Sometimes we will signs into existence. I'm not saying there are not signs. I'm not saying that God doesn't do these things. But sometimes when we seek after a sign, in the book of Corinthians, I think Paul kind of denigrates it, that, you know, Israel is seeking after signs, and well, actually the Greeks were seeking after signs, but we see that another fine example of that was Gideon, who we know in one way did tremendous things, but he also at the same time was less than he had a weakness in his faith, didn't he? But anyway, he was seeking after a sign. What will be my sign? And this is just a marvelous little gem that's buried in here. So Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord. Hezekiah answered. Isaiah said to him, "This sign you shall have of the Lord. The Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. And he asked him, you've got your choice. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or will it go back 10 degrees? And the daylight savings, even then, I guess. Isaiah, and Hezekiah answered, well, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. In other words, well, just by the nature of things, it'll automatically go forward 10 degrees. That's just an aspect of time. But God gave him that option, and there's something beautiful in there. There's something telling. God says, okay, shall time go forward or shall time go backward? And, Hezekiah says, well, it's not a big deal for it to go forward. It does that anyway. But that gives us an insight to how God looks at time, that time, forward or backwards, it's all the same to him. Light and dark, I love that verse in Psalms that says, the light and the dark are both the same to God. We work so hard to distinguish light and dark, but to God, light and dark, first he says that he can change the dark into light, and then he says, light and dark are all the same to him. So it is here. Well, shall it go forward or shall it go backwards? God thinks in that kind of term. It doesn't make any difference. It's all the same to him. And I think those kinds of words, when they're out there, really deserve us to spend some time thinking about, meditating on. It's when Jesus said to the people, to the man who was sick, and then everybody got upset because he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And all the Pharisees got upset. And he said, hey, you know, what's the difference? Is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, take up your bed and walk? In reality, it takes the same effort, the same energy, the same vocal power. If you can say one, you can say the other. But to them, they drew a difference. So it is, again, with this, God is pointing out that to him, time is irrelevant. Time goes both directions at the same time. And I think that becomes significant when you realize that what God is giving this man is an added 15 years. So we'll get to that because that's a fantastic answer to prayer. I mean, this man, he literally had God's ear, didn't he? He prayed, he wept. I mean, this was a genuine, sincere seeking the Lord, and the Lord promised him two things. He said, number one, you will be better and go into the house of God in 3 days. Now, then he said, and I'll add to you 15 years. So when he went to the house of the Lord in the 3 days, then Hezekiah knew without a doubt, if I got the 3 days, then I got the 15 years. Okay. So Hezekiah hearkened to him. I'm jumping down. And so from that time, Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down on the dial of Ahaz. So again, it's daylight savings is not a new thing. All right. So now we're at verse 12. Now this is where we want to go because here's the miracle. He sought the Lord. The Lord honored him. The Lord afforded him 15 years. Now, not only did he afford him 15 years, he told him that he would keep his city safe from the Assyrians. So they were under attack. They had enemies close by that they were having to defend. And God promised him, you will have 15 years and the Assyrians will not, you know, come into the city. Okay. He will deliver the hand out of the hands of the, or the city out of the hand of the Assyrians. Okay. That's marvelous. Now, most of us shut the book there and we start to celebrate. What can't our God do? Most of us begin to say, oh, Lord, thank you for giving me. Maybe if you don't give me another 15, just give me another 5 years. We all are just excited at the evidence of what God can do, what God did for this man. He turned a death sentence around and promised him another 15 years. So it is a great miracle. But my question is, what do we do after the miracle? That's always my question. Well, what do we do after it? What happened to the woman with the issue of blood? What happened to the leper that turned back and said thank you? And many of them that we do see, some of them continued to follow the Lord. I love the madman of Gadara because he said, Lord, let me follow you. And Jesus said, no, you stay here and you be a witness to these people. And the man still followed him. It was just, he just was so hungry to serve Jesus. So it's not just what God does, but what do we do after God does what he does? We can get so focused on beseeching God for a touch, for a new job, for healing. We can ask God for, just give me an open ministry door, whatever we're asking God for. And then God answers us. My question is, what do we do after the miracle? And I got up this morning thinking today, each day is a miracle. What am I going to do with today? Am I going to find it by the end of the day that I squandered it? Or did I waste it in bad attitude? Or did I do today or did I put off till tomorrow with the things I said, oh, today I'll do this and today I'll do that? What do I do after I wake up to the miracle of a new day? And so Hezekiah had been guaranteed 15 years. Most of the people I work with have no such guarantee. Anyway, so let's look at what does Hezekiah do after the miracle. Like I said, this may not be jump up, make you happy kind of thing, but I think sometimes we need to stop and seriously think things through, contemplate things in the scriptures. God puts everything in there for our learning. We have all the things that pertain to life and godliness. So God isn't going to put stuff in there to confuse us. God isn't going to put things in there to distract us. That even in these things, there are lessons for us to learn. We all want to close the book. Oh, hallelujah. God gave Hezekiah 15 more years. Praise the Lord. What is God going to give me in? Now, you know, we go there because we're human. But then here's what it comes. Okay, so it goes down to, goes back 10 degrees. Verse 12, and at that time, the king of Babylon sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And that was a common thing among kings. They would, but also, I also wonder is, oh, you're a foreign leader and you hear somebody's been sick. Wouldn't you begin to wonder, I wonder if he's calculating. I wonder if he's saying, well, if this king is sick, who knows, this kingdom might be up for grabs. You know, we looking for a weakness. We often disguise our intentions under kindness. Anyway, so, but he sent letters and presents to Hezekiah because he'd heard he'd been sick. Verse 13, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them. Oh my, it's one thing to receive something, it's something else to hearken unto it. Now these are not the kings. The king of Babylon gave him no help. He sent him presents when he was sick, but it was God Almighty who healed him. It was God Almighty who gave him a sure word. It's God Almighty who touched him. And yet often when God has done for something for us, we begin to hearken to those other voices that had no power to impact us whatsoever. We had a little situation here that I want to disguise a bit, but there was a religious order here that God had blessed with something. And I look at them, and it's God who gave that to you to begin with. And then you're going to hearken to the advice of businessmen whose only aspiration is lining their own pockets. Businessmen who have no concern for society, do a few charitable things because it looks good to the community. So the same God that delivered this to you, you really, really think that these men are going to be your answer, your solution, your problem. I mean, the answer to your problem. Hezekiah hearkened to them, and look at what he did. He showed them, because, of course, these letters and presents were brought by dignitaries. They were not sent by Pony Express or FedEx. And so the dignitaries, it's not just the gift you send, but did you send emissaries of a high enough caliber? I mean, we will, like for the death of a head of state, of course, the ambassador to that country may go, but if it was very, a very important person, then the vice president may go, or sometimes even the president himself will go. Former vice or former presidents will go. It's the caliber of the emissary who brings either the thoughts of condolence or the letters and the gifts. Okay, so these emissaries came with these gifts and letters. Verse 13, Hezekiah hearkened unto them. Then once you hearken, you do what? He showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the precious ointments. See, again, those were also items of worship, weren't they? Not items to worship, but items for worship. Let me get my preposition clear to you so you don't hear, oh, we're worshiping gold and spices. But they were things used in worship. Okay. And all the house of his armor. So that's all of his army. That's all of his military might. And all found in his treasury. So that has to do with the government, isn't it? And there was nothing in his house, nor in all of his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. So God gave him another 15 years, and there was a little flattery from the king of Babylon, who, as far as we know, I remember one time I was doing something, and I got a call from a very important minister. I have to say, it kind of flattered me for a moment that he knew where I was and what I was doing. And the next thing I know, we chatted a little bit, and then he was like, say, maybe I could do something to influence all of this group of people to come be a part of his church. And I thought, Lorraine, you almost fell for that, didn't you? So even in the Church of God, we just sometimes, just because people give you attention or accolades, don't think they may not already have their eye on your treasure. They may have their eye on your armory. They may have their eye on your on everything that you hold dear. Then came Isaiah the prophet under the king. So he showed him everything that was all of his wealth, all of his military, all of his government, everything. Then came Isaiah the prophet, verse 14, unto the king Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. See, he had been so worried about the Assyrians who were next door, he didn't stop to think that the Babylonians, because they seemed so far away, but it may be that they smelled weakness, isn't it? And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, means, you know, generations and generations of building this kingdom, shall be carried into Babylon, and nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And now it gets worse, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, it's bad enough they take them away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. In other words, not only are they going to strip you of everything you have, but because they are going to castrate your sons, there will never be issue again from this point. My goodness, this is a sound pronunciation of the word of the Lord, that everything, because you showed them, you didn't bother to ask the Lord, should I let these people see? But they flattered you, and you showed them everything. You kept no secrets back. You just laid everything out. Now, I believe in honesty. I believe in transparency. I believe in accountability. We need to have people that we can go to honestly to hear our heart. But you don't parade it for those who, one, don't know the Lord, number two, even if they do know the Lord, as I said, it's happened to me, they have designs on those things. They are not your friend. He didn't ask Hezekiah first. I mean, Hezekiah didn't ask Isaiah first, which obviously he could have. And the Lord had just given him 15 years, and now he's going to brag about his wealth. He's going to brag about his armies. He's going to brag about his power, his country. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm getting too close to being political, but I'm thinking what I'm thinking, and just made it on display and bragging about it. Okay. Then said Hezekiah unto, now he just had told him, and you will be the end of your line. You will be decimated. Your house will be in poverty, and there'll be no more issue from you. There is nothing beyond you. This is the end, not just of your life, but of your legacy and your lineage. Verse 19, then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord. Whoa, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And then he added to it, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah go on and on. There are two parts to his answer. good is the word of the Lord unto me. And then he said, but isn't it good? Well, you know, I'm sure Hezekiah gave him that look. And he said, well, isn't it good that in all my days there'll be peace and truth? There'll be, I will reign without incident in my days. There are a couple of things about this that kind of give me a little, the willies. Is that he had such a lack of care of legacy. He was concerned only about what is good for me. He got a miracle that gave him 15 more years. And all he could say about it is, well, at least in those 15 years, there's going to be plenty. There's going to be peace. There's going to be goodness. There's going to be abundance for me. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? There was no kind of concern for the people that were going to suffer under the hand of the Babylonians. As we well know, they were carried away into captivity, and they suffered seriously. There was, the people bore the brunt of that. More so, his own offspring were going to be crippled, were going to be disabled in such a way that their life would never go forward. And yet his response is, well, isn't that good? I won't see it. It won't happen in my lifetime. It won't happen when I know about it. It's going to happen afterwards. So there's a kind of self-centeredness. What's good for me only is good enough. The other thing, and I'll just throw it in with this because I really don't want to end on that note, because we see people who begin so well, even in ministry, and like I said, this religious order that's in, they begin with a heart of service. They begin in sincerity of prayer. They begin in self-sacrificing, but somehow they feel that by the end of the life, it's okay to be selfish. You know, we've got ministers who built ministry out of laying their lives down for the brethren. But now that I'm in a position, then brethren should come to me and lay life down for me. There's something that I love, that Jesus to his last was never self-serving. Jesus could have said, I've done all this for y'all for the last 33 years. I'm opting out at the last. But yet his biggest challenge was at the end. That we don't let our, that what God has done for us, God gave him a profound miracle. And yet, what did he do with the miracle? God gave him a miracle and he squandered it. Worse than squandered, I hate to say this, but could his children, could his people, could the country not have asked, wouldn't it have been better for him to die 15 years earlier in honor than to get those 15 years and actually use them for ill? That's a terrible thing for people to actually be to the point of saying. Wouldn't it have been better to die before that? I'm not going to go there with that, because now we're going to end it on a little better note than that, and it's this. What amazes me is that Isaiah, of all prophets, comes in, looks Hezekiah in the eye and says, because you've done this thing, this and this and this is what's going to happen, thus saith the Lord. And the first word out of his mouth is, good is the word of the Lord. When God had said to him, to Isaiah, to tell him, you shall die, he turned his face to the wall, he prayed in sincerity, he wept before the Lord, and God changed that edict. What was to stop him? He, more than any of us, wouldn't even get, you know, we may not even grasp that. But Hezekiah knows very little time since, at the very most a few months, had they been on the road because they knew he was sick. I don't know how long it took him, but I know it couldn't have been much longer than that. He had turned his face to the wall, wept before the Lord, and the Lord changed his verdict. What was to stop Hezekiah from saying, God did this for me before for me. God, please, I've erred. Help do this. Change your word for my people. Change it for my family. Change it for the country. Change it for God's people. What was to stop Hezekiah one more time from turning his face to the wall and beseeching the Lord to intervene on the behalf of others? Are we only celebrating those things God does for us? Or are we celebrating, or are we intervening when it touches many people beside us? God gave him a miraculous intervention. God gave him a noteworthy miracle. We all talk about Hezekiah's additional 15 years. But my question is, what did he do after the miracle? And so my question to each of us, and most especially to myself, is, if God has given me the miracle, am I going to waste the miracle? I hope my answer is not the same as Hezekiah's. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, thank you for our time together. God, as we seek your face, we do not just want your hand, but we want your face. We want your approval. We want your inclusion in these things. God, don't just do things for us, but give us an opportunity to do for others by what you have done for us. Let this be a great week for you. Looking forward to spending time with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's G-I-T-M Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a